Safed Rasulman Lijiye, please straighten the rows. Please turn your mobile phones on silent. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of tafsir from Surah Al-Kahf will take place. Brothers requested to participate. Inshallah, the ayat will be displayed on the screen as well as the translation, inshallah. Very beneficial. Today we'll be discussing the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. Very important story. A lot of lessons to be learnt from, inshallah. So please do participate and benefit. Jazakallah. Allahumma as-salamu alayhi salam to all of the other children. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين رحمتك يا رحمن. Inshallah, brothers request to come closer, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا قال ذلك ما كنا نبغي فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا صدق الله العظيم. وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. So far in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the main themes of this surah, the reason why this surah was revealed, were the questions that the people of Mecca, the mushrikun of Mecca, presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a test to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you tell us this question, answer to this question, this one and this one? Three questions that were presented before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And prior to this, so this surah, in this surah the answers to those three questions have been given. And similarly, certain lessons were taught to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the surah. For example, the lesson when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will tell you about this, the information of these, the answers to these questions I'll tell you tomorrow. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala made it such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say inshaAllah. And then Allah Ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the lesson that لا تقولن لي شيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا إن يشاء الله. Never say that you're going to do anything tomorrow, except that make sure you say inshaAllah. Because we as human beings are very weak, nothing is in our control, always refer back to Allah Ta'ala. So this surah is a very powerful surah in establishing tawheed, oneness of Allah. At all times a person focuses on the fact that only Allah Ta'ala can do. It only happens from Allah. Only Allah benefits. Only Allah gives. Only Allah does. So just before this incident, Allah Ta'ala mentioned two examples. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ And mentioned to them the example, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of رَجُلَيْنِ Of two men, two brothers, or two friends. And we discussed this already, that one of them was a wealthy man, however he was a disbeliever. And the second one was a poor man, but he was a believer. And the wealthy man is showing off his garden, saying, look what I have, and look at what I have, and look what I've done. And you know what, I'm living life, I'm enjoying myself. And look at you, you've got nothing. He's trying to show this comparison, that you've got nothing, compared to me, you're absolutely nothing. And this comparison was made on the basis of material things. That I've got wealth, I've got gardens, I've got orchards, subhanAllah, you know, everything is going well for me. Whereas you've got nothing, what benefit is your deen giving you, your religion giving you, if you're broke in this world, if you've got nothing in this world? And the second person, because he was always conscious of Allah Ta'ala, to him material things meant nothing. He said that it's very likely, عَسَى رَبُّنَا أَن يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا You know, it's very likely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace what you have and give it to me, and Allah Ta'ala can cause, you know, a natural calamity, disaster to fall upon your land and totally destroy it. And this is exactly what happened. And in the morning he woke up and فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا In the morning he woke up and he came into his garden, his orchard. He saw everything was totally wiped out. Whereas for many, many years, subhanAllah, it was a beautiful garden, orchard. He had everything. But overnight Allah Ta'ala destroyed it all. And he's doing this with his hands. And he's just so frustrated and he's so, you know, anxious and so remorseful that, you know, I wish I did not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I realize now that this was never in my control. Everything was happening, that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's making it happen for me. It was never really in my control. So that was one example. Where one person, because of material things, he felt that he was superior to someone who didn't have it. And then similarly, another example where Allah ta'ala mentioned, you know, wasbid nafsaka. مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. Or the ayah that comes, that make sure you stay, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, sorry. لا تمدن عينيك. What's the ayah? وصبر نفسك, I think. It's the وصبر نفسك one, isn't it? That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make sure that you keep yourself with the poor people, the weak people from the Muslims. Don't turn your eyes away from these people. These are Allah's chosen people. Because the mushrikun of Mecca, the Quraysh, they approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're very interested in what you've got to say. Well, we can't come and sit with these people, they smell. They are servants, they serve us. They genuinely said, they smell. When we come there, we can't even think because of how bad they smell. They stink. You know, to show that these are disgusting people, they are servants, they're low class. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you're always sitting with them, so... You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but they're believers, they come to me for, you know, guidance, and I will give them the guidance. They said, well, why don't you do this? Keep one day for us and one day for them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just contemplated this in his mind. Automatically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very sternly said, don't even think about it. That these people are Allah's chosen people. And we've discussed all these discussions in detail, how subhanAllah, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you look like, how much money you have, how well you speak, how mashallah muhadhab, or how cultural, or how civilized, or how good mannered, or how things you are. None of these things matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just the treasure in the heart that matters to Allah. It's all in the heart. It does not have to have any resemblance on the body at all. It's all in the heart. If the heart is sound and strong, and qalbun salim, has that strong reliance on Allah, firm faith on Allah, unshakable faith, this person is much closer to Allah than someone who's masquerading as a wali of Allah, saint of Allah, friend of Allah, but inside it's all empty, all problematic, all ill and all sick and all bruised. So again, over there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advised, look, just because someone is from a low caste in society, low rank in society, does not mean they are, you know, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the case. That tawadu, humility, is something beloved to Allah. Lowliness, those who are low, humble, poor, broke. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu would say, and quote the hadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ الْمُنْكَسِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ أَجْلِي. I am with those people whose hearts are broken because of me. Broken hearted. Those who are totally lost, totally broken, totally have nothing, helpless. Bilkul mazoor, in logon ke saath Allah Ta'ala ki madad hoti hai. And the people who are rich and wealthy and have lots and feel that they are very high ranking, these people many times are in a difficult situation. As in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the poor people will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich people. 500 years before the rich people. Because the rich people have to give hisab. Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Awf radiallahu anhu, such a wealthy sahabi, from the Asharatul Mubashara, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 sahaba who were given glad tidings of Jannah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abdurrahman, I see you crawling into Jannah. You're finding it very hard to enter Jannah because of all the wealth that you have to give hisab for. Everything." After this, Allah Ta'ala brings the story of Sayyidina Musa and Khidr alayhi salam. Again, it's the theme is of arrogance and how despicable this is to Allah Ta'ala. And sorry, just before this actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Adam alayhi salam and Iblis again. You remember we did it, Adam alayhi salam, Iblis, before Ramadan, so maybe we've all forgotten. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Iblis, and how again, Iblis was destroyed because of this haughtiness, arrogance. And we had the whole bayan about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and all of this we've discussed. How he just felt that this was a creature that was so, you know, he's nothing compared to me. I am so superior, I am so close to Allah, I'm in the circle of the angel, I've done so much ibadah of Allah for thousands of years. This mud object is nothing, you know, we're not on the same league. He genuinely felt we're not on the same league. And when Allah Ta'ala created the structure of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi says, Iblis, 40 years, Allah Ta'ala left that structure there. And Iblis was going in through the mouth and out through the backside. In through the mouth, out through the backside. And he was saying to the angels, you people are too respectful of this thing. It's nothing. Nothing to be feared. Don't worry. When Allah gives it soul, I will show you that it's actually not nothing that you need to worry about. Because the malaika had so much ru'b and awe of this thing. Because Allah Ta'ala had said to them that this will be my khalifa upon the earth. And Iblis said, what khalifa? This? You know, it doesn't make sense. So it's the arrogance, takabbur, and after that he was banished. So all of these lessons were drawn, and then the story comes of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was giving a talk in the Banu Israel, the Mufassirun mentioned. And in the talk, he mentioned many secrets and many, you know, deep, detailed discussions of ilm. And one old man who was sitting there said, Oh Musa, Oh Nabiullah, Oh Kaleemullah, is there anyone in the earth more knowledgeable than you? Aapse bada alim pure alam ke andar koi hai? Is there any bigger alim than you, greater alim than you? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he genuinely, he's the Nabi of Allah. And he's not just ordinary Nabi, he's from the Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, the five greatest messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The five greatest ones. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. These five are the ulul, greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam is from them. He's Kaleemullah. Subhanallah, just the way he would speak with Allah Ta'ala is so baytakallufana, you know, so informal, that you think, how can Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam speak like that? How can someone speak to Allah Ta'ala like that? But Allah Ta'ala is so pleased with Musa alayhi salam's dialogue, Allah puts it in the Quran every time. Every time. And you just think, Subhanallah, oh Allah, I just want to see you. I just want to see you. Oh Musa, you're not going to be able to see me. You know, Allah, I still want to see you. Still want to try. And Musa, okay, that's fine. I'm going to, you know, project a little bit of my nur onto that mountain. And if you can see that mountain, if you can see that nur, then you're able to see me. But it's not possible. Oh Allah, that's fine, I still want to see. It's so informal, the dialogue, the conversation. And subhanAllah, whenever Sayyidina Musa, that's why it's called Kalimullah. The kalima that the nation of Sayyidina Ummah of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would read was La ilaha illallah Musa, Kalimullah. Musa, the one who speaks to Allah whenever he wants. So he said, I don't think anyone's more knowledgeable than me. I'm the Nabi of Allah. In this era, whenever Allah Ta'ala wants to communicate anything to the people, Allah Ta'ala revealed it to me. Although Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is absolutely innocent and free from haughtiness, from arrogance, from takabbur, not even a seed of takabbur, a zarra bar takabbur was in the heart of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, yet Allah Ta'ala still didn't like it. Someone saying, I am the most something. I am the most knowledgeable. Even though in the books of tafsir they mention that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, when he said this, it was said with utmost tawadu, and he also said, according to my ilm. He said, according to my knowledge, I am the most knowledgeable of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Allah's made me Nabi. Automatically Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa, even you as a Nabi of Allah still don't know so much. If a Nabi of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has hidden so many branches of ilm from them, then how can any normal person think, ya ab mujhe to sab kuch samajh mein aa gaya. You know, I've understood everything. Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa, there is someone who is more knowledgeable than you. Allah Ta'ala said, just one person, ایک شخص ایک فرد میرے بندوں میں سے ایک بندہ اس سے جا کے ملاقات کر لو وہ تم سے بڑا عالم ہے میرے بندوں میں سے ایک بندہ. Allah Ta'ala did not say, you know, this guy is the most knowledgeable, oh Musa. Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa alayhi salam, there's one person over there, he knows something you don't know. It's just to show that that person knows something, but there are others who know things that even that person doesn't know. To show that you can never comprehend the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the, you know, understanding who Allah is, how great Allah is. It's never going to come in the mind of a normal human being. So Musa alayhi salam, sincere student of deen. And this is where the ulama mentioned so many etiquettes or a student of knowledge. Musa alayhi salam, Nabi of Allah. If someone says you're the big mufti, Shaykh al-Hadith, and you've studied so many years, and subhanAllah, you've got all these degrees and accolades and, you know, everything, and says, oh, there's this person that you've never heard of before, unknown, not famous. Yeah? So unknown person lives in some faraway land, right? I think he knows one mas'ala that you don't know. One hadith you don't know, one something you don't know. So, yeah, I know enough. You know, I know enough. I've studied my whole life. Why am I going to go and bother with that? I know enough. I'm an old man. I've lived my whole life and I've gained so much knowledge. It's okay, I can do without that. But this was the opposite of the attitude of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Even the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, subhanAllah, the famous hadith Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radhiyallahu anhum, where he traveled such a long period of time from Medina to Munawwara all the way till Sham, all the way till Syria, to gain hadith from the one Sahabi, the one hadith he had not heard. He heard it, but he heard that the narrator, the Rawi, is that Sahabi who lives in Sham, Syria. He traveled all the way there, he listened to the hadith, and he came all the way back home. And there's so much zeal, and that's why the muhaddithun of old, if you look, they were all rahala, it's called Arabic rahala. Rahil, the plural is rahala. They were travelers. They did not sit in one place and say, I'm an expert in ilm. They would just travel. Anywhere they heard about that someone knows more ilm, someone knows more hadith, they'd go there. So the greatest muhaddith would be the one who traveled the most. So the scholars would write books. Khatib al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi wrote a book called Ar-Rihlatu fi Talab al-Hadith. That traveling in the pursuit of gaining knowledge of hadith is a very important part of seeking knowledge. You can't just sit in your home, in your comfort zone, in luxury, and just think that you're going to become some big scholar. It all so much effort. Al-ilmu la yu'tika ba'duhu hatta tu'tiyahu kullak. The scholars say, knowledge does not give you even a part of itself until you give your entirety over to it. You need to, it's for the candle to, yeah, for the candle to glow, it has to burn itself out. Same, the ilm is like this. Ilm is no easy thing. It's very hard, very difficult. And it's so daqiq, so amiq, so deep. To get to the depth of one mas'ala, it takes a lot of work, a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of suhbah and sitting in the company of great scholars. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he heard, there's a person who has more ilm than me. وَإِذْ قَالَ And remember, when Musa alayhi salam said to his youngster, لِفَتَاهُ He said to his youngster, Fatah means young boy, youngster, young man. Yeah, in Arabic, and fatat means young woman. Yeah, fatat. And fata means young man. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said to the youngster, the Mufassirun say, fata, although it means young man, it's a polite or a respectful way of also addressing a servant. A servant. You know, a servant who is a dignified servant, or khadim, or we say khadim, right? It's a dignified way of addressing him. When Musa alayhi salam said to his servant, his khadim, who was this khadim, this servant of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? The Mufassirun, pretty much all of them say, his name was Yusha bin Noon. What was his name? Yusha bin Noon. And later on, majority of Mufassirun say he also became a Nabi of Allah. And ajeeb thing, this incident, such a huge incident, such a significant incident, Sayyidina Musa, the prophet of the time, is meeting someone who has ilm that he does not have. But this incident is not found anywhere in the Tawrat. Tawrat, which is now the Old Testament. Yeah, the Old Testament. It's not mentioned anywhere in there. Although Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun is there, there's a whole chapter. The chapter of, what do they call him? Joshua. Jazakallah, who said that? Hafiz. Very good, very good. Joshua. There's a whole chapter, the chapter of Joshua. And Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun is known as Joshua bin Nun. Inside of the Bible as well. He even mentions in his name, you know, in the different chapters, Numbers and Deuteronomy and what's the other one? I've forgotten the names. So the point is, he's mentioned by name. To the extent we have details about Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun from the Torah that we don't have in the Hadith, and not in the Quran, we have a lot of details, but this whole incident is not mentioned. Maybe out of, you know, they didn't want to show that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam didn't have a certain branch of ilm or something. But this is why the Mufassirun say that Torah, even as a historical record, is not accurate. So many historical significant incidents are missed out. Like we have, for example, Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun, Joshua bin Nun, they mention in the Torah that he died at the age of 110. We don't have this in the Hadith mentioned. But it's in the Torah, it's in the Old Testament. He passed away at the age of 110, he became a prophet, he was a servant of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and then he was the kind of the leader of the Banu Israel, the Israelites, after Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's demise. But anyway, this was the youngster. And he was a Nabi of Allah, and from here we also understand that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would keep him with him at all times to learn from him. To learn from Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. When he said to his youngster, La abrahu, I will not rest. حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ Until I reach the place where the two oceans join. أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا Or I will continue to travel forever. حُقُبًا حُقَب is a word which means a long period of time. In the narrations we have about a person who misses their salah, they'll be in Jahannam for 40. حُقَب, right? Scholars mention different things. What does the حُقَب mean? But حُقَب, generally speaking or broadly speaking, or, you know, to make it abbreviated, huqab just means a long period of time. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, I will continue to travel for as long as possible. Meaning, if my death happens in this safar, then so be it. He's a Nabi of Allah, he's got his ummah, he's got his followers, he's got his responsibilities. He's left them all and he says, someone has ilm I don't have, I need to meet them. I need to go. And he says to his khadim, come with me, you're coming with me. Two things here. One is from here the ulama, the Tanwi rahmatullah and others mentioned, to have someone with you on a journey to support you, to help you, is not manafi, is not against, not khilaf of tawakkul. Is not against tawakkul. To have someone. Because the journeys are hard, difficult. I mean, knowing the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, al-raqibu shaytanun, al-raqibatni shaytanani, wa thalathun rukubun. The one person, solo traveler, he's a shaytan. Meaning he's asking for harm. He's asking for trouble. When you're traveling by yourself, so many dangers of safar can happen, of trouble can happen. Even two travelers are two shaitans. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, don't even travel in a pair, but rather you should be at least a group of three. Thalathun rukubun. A group of three make a travel group. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi wa sallam said, come with me. We're going to travel for as long as we have to, until we reach the place where the two oceans meet. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, where am I going to find this servant of yours who has ilm that I don't have? Allah ta'ala said, you're going to find him where the two oceans meet. And the Mufassirun here have gone into lengthy discussions. What are the two oceans that meet? And even when I went through them, I couldn't come to any kind of conclusion because there's just too many. And nobody knows for sure. Khulasa is nobody knows for sure. Some say it's from the Khalij Aqaba, what is known as the Gulf of Aqaba, if you look. So basically, you've got the Suez Canal, right? And then you've got the Gulf of Aqaba where they join. that point, basically where today modern Sharm el-Sheikh and all these places are. It's like an edge where two kind of narrow seas join, and then they merge into, I think, the Dead Sea, right? Others mention it's where the old Euphrates, nowadays the Euphrates and the river Tigris is not really giving much importance, but it's basically where the Euphrates or the river Tigris joined. Others say it's where the Nile, the river Nile, had two branches or two streams, where two of those the streams would join. That's where the Majma' al-Bahrain is. But Allah knows best. These are things the Quran has not mentioned in detail. We don't need to worry ourselves about it. Listen to one scholar, Mufti Sayyid Ahmed Khan from Pakistan. He was saying that, you know, these details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept hidden that we don't need to know about, it's not necessary to fall into them. But if somebody has genuine enthusiasm, ability, and their intention is sincere, they just want to know more about the marvels that Allah ta'ala has kept hidden from us, and with that intention they study and they come to some conclusion, inshallah they'll be rewarded for it, because it's a sacred cause. But it's not necessary, it's not part of your aqidah, your belief, your deen to say, oh, I believe it's this river or that river, I believe. For example, Ashab al-Kahf, how many were there? Were there seven of them? Were there three of them? Were there four of them? It's not necessary for us to say with you know, certainty that it was this number. Allah ta'ala has left it unseen, hidden, we should also leave it. So I'm going to travel until I reach this place, or I'm going to carry on traveling. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. And then when they both reached the place where the two oceans met, نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا, they forgot about their fish. فَاتَّخَذَ, they both forgot about their fish. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ, and it took its way, and it made its way into the فِي الْبَحْرِ, into the ocean. سَرَبًا, tunneling its way through the ocean. What happened was Allah Ta'ala said, O Musa, when you travel, take a fish with you. Ajib is a test. Ajib. In this qissa, in this incident, there's so much ajib things. First of all, it's ajib that someone even know has more ilm than Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. This is ajib in itself. You see, a Nabi of Allah, someone can have more ilm than them or ilm that they don't have. How does this work? Yeah. Also already ajib. Then you travel and you're going to meet him all the way over there. Allah Ta'ala is saying to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, leave your responsibilities as a Nabi and go travel. That's also ajib. A Nabi is so busy, can there anyone be anyone more busier than a Nabi of Allah? No. Go and travel. Also ajib. When you're traveling, take a fish with you. Wherever you lose the fish, that's where you're going to find that person. Okay? Jaha pe machli ghaib ho jaye, that's where you will find the person. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا, they came to this place. When they both reached this place where the two oceans met, they forgot about their fish. What actually happened, the Mufassirun say, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam fell asleep. And he went to rest. And Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun was awake. And Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun actually saw with his eyes a fish. And now there's two opinions, and lots of opinions here actually. So one opinion is the fish was alive. Majority of the Mufassirun say the fish was dead. The fish is out of water, it's dead. So they thought losing the fish, they didn't know what that meant. Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun saw the fish spring out alive from the basket or whatever it was in, and then it tunneled its way. So sarab can mean one of two things. Sarab in Arabic can mean tunnel. Sarab can also mean, like Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, this whole incident has been mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah has mentioned madhab, maslak, you know, just an exit, a route. Sarab can either mean a tunnel. So many mufassirun have said the water became like a hollow, strange structure, and the fish kind of just zoomed through that structure and he went. Because the tide was pushing this way, so the fish should not have been able to go that way, but they became like a tunnel, a hole in the tide, which defied the direction of the tide, and the fish just went through. And saying, you should have been saying, what is this? So strange. Or sarab just means getaway, exit. That the fish just went. But Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam, he saw it with his eyes. He saw it. But again, it's ajib that as a prophet of Allah, he saw it, Allah Ta'ala made him forget it. And there's hikmat behind everything here, wisdom. Why did Allah Ta'ala make him forget it? So that Musa alayhi salam would travel even more, and the hardship of the journey would increase even more. The more hardship in a safar of ilm, the more qadr of that ilm, the more appreciation of that ilm. So this is the place, they've reached their destination. And another point here, that we'll get to that in the next ayah. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا, and then when they had gone past, when they had gone past the finish line, Majma' al-Bahrain, they had gone past it. They had gone ahead. قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ, all of a sudden Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he said to his khadim, his servant, his youngster, أَتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا, bring us our morning meal.
From here, the Mufassirin don't say another point. They say people just should eat two meals, ghada and asha. One meal in the morning, one meal at night. And this is how people would always eat, ghada and asha. And now, mashallah, you've got four meals, five meals. Yeah. But ghada and asha is the healthiest way. And so Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam set off in the morning. He's already started his day. And then when he's tired and ghada happens, sometimes in the dopehar time, zuhar time, before zuhar time, after zuhar time, this is where you have the morning meal and then you have the nighttime meal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rarely have anything called breakfast. If it was some ajwa dates or a bit of honey mixed with water and he would drink that, something, it was very light, very healthy and very beneficial in an empty stomach. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he said to his youngster, bring us our morning meal. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا, surely we have been met, مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا, in this journey of ours, with nasaba, with a lot of tiredness. Meaning, he's trying to say, I'm feeling very tired. Bring us my meal. Bring me my meal, I'm feeling very tired. So many points Mufassirun bring, how many am I going to mention? They say that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, first of all, is taking khidmat. He's taking service, khidmat, isn't it? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is saying to the youngster, go and bring it. So taking khidmat always is not a bad thing. See? As long as the person in their heart does not feel, I am deserving of it. And many times the intention of khidmat is tarbiyah, nurturing. And this story, all of it, so much tarbiyah, points of tarbiyah. First of all, Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun, many Mufassirun say he's only on this journey because Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would keep him with him, that learn from me. You need to learn, because a time will come when you will become the responsible one. You will take the responsibility of Banu Israel. If you don't stay with me, how will you know what to do when that time comes? At all times, Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun, the Torah mentions, at all times Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun would be with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, learning, watching, serving, doing anything he needs, like an errand boy. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah ali, the great scholar, he became a great saint of Allah. Very great saint of Allah. And his sheikh was Sheikh Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullah, who's also a great wali of Allah. Right? So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri, in the latter stages of his life, he went to Tana Bawa and to me, Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah ali. So Hazrat Tanvi said, and he said to Hazrat Tanvi, do you recognize me? He said, no, I don't recognize you. He said, do you remember? I remember you once came to visit my sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Raipuri. But do you remember, there was this little Punjabi boy, that's what he said, this little Punjabi boy who was running around cleaning everyone's food and mess and, you know, washing and cleaning and looking after everyone and just doing khidmat for everybody. Do you remember? He said, yes, I remember. I thought he was a knocker. I thought he was a servant. He said, I'm that Punjabi boy. He said, I'm that boy. The point is, all this service, when a person wants to gain something, they need to hand themselves over. I'll do khidmat, I'll serve, I'll do whatever it needs to do, but I want to learn this. I want to learn this. I want to gain this ilm. I want to gain this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person has. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said to him, bring our morning meal. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَسَوَى. You know, we've become very tired from this journey. Again here, ulama say, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is saying, he's expressing that I'm feeling tired. This is also not manafi, this is also not opposed or opposite to the status of sainthood or prophethood to say that, you know, I'm feeling some difficulty, some hardship. As long as in the heart there is no complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's fine, human nature. I'm feeling tired, got a bit of a headache, I've not been feeling well for the last 2 weeks. This, you're not doing anything wrong, you're not doing anything sinful. Alayhi salam is mentioning in the Quran, this is what Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is saying, a Nabi of Allah. How can a Nabi of Allah say something which goes against tawakkul or, you know, any form of good sifa or good quality? Sure, it's normal, human nature. Kisi ko sar ka dard ho, kisi ko takan ho, takawat ho, bas kehe ki haa, main bahut thaka hua hoon, sar mein dard hai. Dil ke andar Allah ta'ala par mutmain ho, khush ho, Allah ta'ala ke khilaaf koi shikwa shikayat na ho, tab to koi masla nahi hai. There's no problem, no issue. Sayyidina Musa alayhi khud keh rahe ke main to bahut thaka hua hoon, jo hai nashta le aao, main bahut thaka hua hoon. I'm going to do this one, two ayah, then I'm going to stop there, inshallah. We'll carry on from there, because I know it's going to go into a bit detail. قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيرُ الْهُودِ. Now Sayyidina Yusha said, oh no, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said to me, when you get to, you know, whenever you see the fish disappear, make sure you tell me straight away, I saw it, but I forgot. And another point here, Mufassirun mentioned, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is saying, I'm tired. When is he saying I'm tired? After they've passed the finish line. And from here they draw the point that when a pious servant of Allah, a person is trying to get close to Allah, and they're very focused on a task, and they are consistent with sticking to that task, they can just carry on going. But when they start to do things which distract them, which go away from that purpose of life, then they feel, you know, a drain of energy, they feel tired. A pious person, you know, someone who is trying to study ilm, someone who's focused, someone's trying to do dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, and then all of a sudden they start watching TV, and they start relaxing, start playing games, then they feel the tiredness, they feel the burden, they feel the... Because they're going away from that purpose of life which they had made for themselves, that noble purpose of life. Even if you talk in terms of worldly things, a person's got a hadaf, a target, he can just go through anything, businessman, whatever, you know, he needs to make this much profit, or he needs to achieve these targets, or whatever it is, he just goes for it. But when he starts doing something which is distracting from the task itself, then he starts feeling the heavy weight of, oh no, I've been fighting my tiredness, and now I'm feeling it. Yeah. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, all this time he was on task until he got to Majma' al-Bahrain. After he passed it, now he's off task. So now the tiredness automatically hit him. Because, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally as well. And this is the way many times with the awliya of Allah, the saints of Allah ta'ala, it works, that as soon as they move away from their purpose of life, they just feel this pressure, this heaviness, this depression, this sadness, this anxiety, and they can't explain it, that why am I feeling like this? Because you are in this beautiful bubble of nur and light, and you are on this beautiful path that Allah ta'ala had put you on, and now you've gone on to something which is totally off tangent, off the right path, so you feel this heaviness, this weight. So there's another lesson they say. Finally, so Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam, he said, O Musa alayhi salam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ. This word أَرَأَيْتَ, although it means literally, have you seen? But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam did not see, he was sleeping. So ulama say it's like saying, you know, it's like a ta'ajjub statement, astonishment. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ. When we took shelter, refuge, when we took shelter and we rested near that rock over there, فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. I forgot about the fish. I forgot about the fish, meaning I forgot to tell you about the fish. Something ajeeb, something strange happened with the fish. وَمَا أَنْسَانِهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. No one made me forget except for shaitan. Although Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun is a human being, human beings do forget, they make mistakes, but a wali of Allah, a saint of Allah, pious servant, he always brings his shortcomings down to himself and shaitan, nafs and shaitan. Shaitan made me do it. My nafs made me do it. Straight away. And Mufassirun say, Shaitan did genuinely make him forget. Because Shaitan thought, we don't want Musa meeting the person he's going to meet. We don't want this happening. So let them carry on. Maybe, you know, they'll fail in their journey and go home. So Shaitan genuinely made him forget. وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. And the fish made its way into the ocean in such an ajeeb manner. In such a strange manner. I forgot to tell you this ajeeb thing happened. He also, the Arabic, I don't know, Hafiz, if you feel it when you're reading Quran, وَمَا أَنْسَانِهُ. Does that sound strange to you when you read it? Right? Because you're a Hafiz of Quran, normally in Arabic linguistics, when you've got the ya coming before the dhamir, the pronoun ha, it should be أَنْسَانِهِ. And it happens twice in the Quran here, وَمَا أَنْسَانِهُ إِلَّا شَيْطَانُ. And again in Surah Al-Fath, there's another ayah, it's not going to our mind. Two places in the Quran where it's like this, where it should be ansanihi if you follow the rules of Arabic grammar. But remember, this Quran was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala revealed it in this way. And out of all the imams of qiraat, the seven great imams whose qiraat we all follow, only one imam, Imam Hafs and Asim, the qiraat that we read, we say ansanihu. All the other six imams, they say ansanihi. And this is because the Quran was revealed in seven dialects, different dialects of the Arabs. Some of the Arabs would say ansanihu, so Allah Ta'ala to make it in conformity with the language that they spoke, Allah Ta'ala also revealed this as a dialect. But the other recitations are also valid in the different qira'at. It's only twice in the Quran. Another answer that some scholars say, they say because the whole story is ajeeb, Allah Ta'ala has, in the grammar, has created something which is ajeeb as well. In the language of the Quran, Allah has created something which is ajeeb. Someone said, this is strange. Why is he ansanihu? Because the whole incident is ajeeb. Allah has added more ujb and more strangeness or astonishment to the incident itself. Shaitan made me forget. And the fish ate, you know, went away. Last ayah we'll do, inshallah. قَالَ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. That is what we were looking for. وہ تو ہم ڈون رہے تھے. اسی وقت کو ہم کی تلاش میں ہم تھے کہ جب مچھلی چلے جائے. And another عجیب thing they mention, you know, the fish, some of us even say, the fish was half roasted. It was half roasted. It was half eaten. They'd already eaten half of it, and there was half of it left, and it just went into the ocean like this. So many ajib things they mentioned. And there's even more ajib things if you go into it. Especially the Spanish Mufassirun, like Ibn Atiyah al-Andalusi rahmatullah and others, they mention that they've seen it. You know, we talk about the place where the two oceans meet. And I mentioned this in Surah Al-Kahf. I don't know if you remember, Hafsab, when we were talking about the people of the cave. I mentioned that there's so many opinions about where the cave is. The famous one in Jordan, this and that. But the Spanish, remember, I mentioned the Spanish Mufassirun would be so adamant that that cave was in Spain. And they would say, Alam Qurtubi ibn Atiyah al-Andalusi and others, they would say, we've been there, we've seen it. So we've been there, we've seen the tombstones, we've even seen the bones of a dog in that cave. So they were so adamant. Allah knows that a reality of these, but Allah has kept it all hidden from us. So we can keep talking about it. It doesn't really matter. We need to draw the lessons that are relevant. قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, that is what we were looking for. That was it, where the fish disappeared. فَارْتَدَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا So they both returned upon their footsteps. They retraced their steps. قَصَصًا, you know, following their footsteps to try and find the place where the fish was lost. And from this, Mufassir mentioned another important point. The Anbiya alayhim salam don't have all of ilmul ghaib. You know, some people say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had all of ilmul ghaib. Prophets have all of ilmul ghaib. Allah ta'ala gives them knowledge of unseen, but that is a specific amount. They don't have all of it. Otherwise, why would they need to retrace their footsteps? They should just know, oh, the fish was lost, we'll just go there. You know? But they had to retrace their footsteps. Okay, this is where, and they also mention here that they were on soft ground, so you could actually see the footsteps, and they retraced them all the way back to the place where the fish was lost. And I think inshallah we'll stop there. We'll continue from this part. فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا Next week inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all the correct understanding of these ayat. SubhanAllah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.